mentioned, we have a number of visitors with us this morning. Very happy that you're here. Some have not been here at all, and some have been here for a long time ago, and we have visitors that are reoccurring. We're glad to have every one of you. It's good that we're able to be together as God's people and to open God's Word and to understand how we're supposed to live. A lot of times we get snapshots of what our life should be like. 1 Thessalonians 5 is a very quick one, where we find we're to rejoice always, we're to pray without ceasing, we are to be people that are never going to give up on prayer, we're not to be despising prophecies, the idea of turning our back upon the Word of God, we're to prove all things, hold fast to that which is good, abstain from every form of evil. Which of those are you doing? All of them? I hope so. Are we abstaining from evil? Yes. I don't despise prophesying. I don't want to quench the Spirit. What He's revealed to us, His Word, is that we're going to test all things and prove all things, as Paul is telling us in the Thessalonian letter. But rejoicing always, giving thanks in all things, praying without ceasing. Sometimes we go a long ways of saying, well, I'm going to pray more, and you do, and we do. And either because of busyness, maybe because of discouragement, maybe our prayer hasn't been answered, we give up. We don't pray without ceasing. Oh, we're going to hold to the Word of God, and we're going to test all things, but our relationship with God, I couldn't say I'm rejoicing always. Can't say I'm praying without ceasing. And sometimes I forget, God, about the thanksgiving that I should have for you for what you've done for me. All of those things should be a part of our life. I want to concentrate upon prayers today. And because the Bible speaks to this, I want to spend one lesson on dealing with the fact of why prayers are not answered. Just deal with the facts. Sometimes prayer is not answered. And there's some lessons that we can learn from that as we study God's Word. And so this lesson is going to be dealing with that tonight, Lord willing. I'm going to be dealing with how prayers were not answered the way we wanted them to, but they're still answered. And we'll deal a whole lesson up on that. But I thought you might want to be here less than 2 hours today for this morning. We'll see how long this one goes. We're just going to deal with the fact sometimes prayer's not even heard. God lets us know that. So if it's not heard, how's it going to be answered? Not going to be answered the way we want it to. It's the fact it's not even heard. So I want to concentrate upon that this morning. That what could I be doing things that God doesn't even hear my prayers to answer it? I pray according to your will, but He doesn't hear my prayer? What is that about? And the Bible has some great things for us to understand about that. First of all, it's offered God's worshipers. We're talking about God's people in the Old Testament. And they are living sinful lives. If you turn with me to Isaiah, the first chapter, we see the point that I'm making from these verses. But we want to lead up to verse 15. Because in verse 11, what unto me is the multitude of your sacrifices? See, they're religious people. They're worshiping God. And Jehovah says, I've had enough of the burnt offerings of rams, the fat of fed beasts. Fat was belonged to God. We're going to give that to God. And I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or he goats. Well, you offer us to do that. I'm not happy with you, is where he's driving his thoughts. When you come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to trample my courts? He looks at showing up as trampling his courts when they're showing up for worship. Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. Well, it hasn't been before. It's an abomination to me. New moon, Sabbath, calling of the assemblies. I cannot away with iniquity and the solemn meeting. Get away. Stop it. I don't want you to show up to worship today. That's what God's telling his people. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary of bearing them. They are very difficult for me to bear under. abomination. And yet these are things that the law required good people worship him, his people were to do. And when you spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you, yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Oh, the posture's great, isn't it? We come to give you the fat of the animals. That belongs to you, God. And we don't just pray some. Our many prayers are offered to you. You're trampling my courts. It's a burden I have to bear. I don't want to deal with that. Away with such things. And here's what you do is that I'm not going to hear what you have to say. He gives them, you need to wash your hands. You need to change. But I'm just saying, sometimes people who show up from worship don't have their prayers answered even while you're here. Or when you may be praying them at home. But I worship today. And it's because they're living sinful lives. Not saying perfect without sin, because we have avenue of prayer to take care of that problem. We understand we fall sometimes. But our life is supposed to be centered. And what these people were doing, that verse 16, wash you, make you clean, put away the evil from your doings. What are they doing? Cease to do evil. What are you doing? Seek justice. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widows. Other passages, they're just eating up the people, chopping up their pieces in a cauldron and eating their flesh. They didn't care about the justice given to people who needed their help. It's how they were treating others. It's the lack of honoring God and his worship because they're living sinful lives. And that becomes a great warning sign that if we start living like that and we say, well, I'll just substitute worship. I'll do many prayers and look at my posture. I spread my hands up to you, O God. He said, wearisome it is. And begin to realize, I'm not even going to hear your prayers. The psalmist put it this way. When in 66 and verse 18, this is how he painted, very, very concise and to the point. The psalmist says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. Hear what? My iniquity? No, he's not going to hear my prayers. Again, sin is the problem. And what we're observing is the fact that here is that if I regard iniquity, what does that mean? The word denotes the idea of seeing. And in this same chapter, this Hebrew word is used in verse 5. Come and see the works of God. He is terrible in his doing toward the children of men. It's awesome. It gets your attention. But come and see. This Hebrew word means if I see iniquity in my heart and I'm not doing anything about it, I'm not treating my fellow man right, I'm not living up what God has me to do, and he's told me how to do that, just like substituting worship for living the life that you should, what's going to happen? I am not going to hear your prayers. Forget the point about answering them. This is what impresses me. I don't hear them. And these are people that may be, you know, worshiping God. Sometimes they're offered by a husband, not honoring their wives. In 1 Peter 3 and verse 7. Here was the context of honoring her because she is a weaker vessel. The body, different from yours. Oh, men and women are different. We're learning that the hard way in our culture. You say, I'm a male, but I'm a female, but you're realizing you're not going to change the maleness of your body. And we're saying, well, that's the idea of fairness. Well, God has told us he made male and female, and we need to get back to him. But here's the fact of offering prayers, and you're not honoring her as a weaker vessel, realizing she's a joint heir in Christ with you, Mr. Husband. And you are not honoring her as you should. Sometimes you can abuse her verbally. Sometimes you can abuse her physically. You're stronger than she is physically, so sometimes that can happen. But I'm a praying man. And sometimes you don't think of what you're doing. God says, I don't hear. Your prayers are going to be hindered because of the life you're living. Well, that's private. Well, God sees in private. God said he's instituted marriage, and this is the way it's supposed to work, with harmony and with love. So sometimes, husbands, your prayers are not being answered maybe for what you want. I want a better job, and I want better conditions. I want to pray for my family and pray for my wife, but you're not treating her. You're not honoring her. And it's as a prized part of your life. You're running roughshod over her and not caring, not dwelling with her with knowledge about where she's coming from, her emotions, what she needs. It's all about me, but I'm praying. And God's not listening. And he tells us, he gives us warning that that's the case. Thirdly, sometimes it's being offered up with unconfessed sin. So let's say this, take to the point. What does sin do? Isaiah 59 and verse 2, that he won't hear. Sin has separated us between ourselves and our God. That's what sin has done. So here's sinful actions in these first two points. But now we're looking at, I want to change. Do you? You hadn't confessed them yet. God was dealing with the people in Isaiah. He said, this is what you need to do. Wash your hands, the blood. But I haven't seen any repentance. So we could say, God, please forgive us. It's unconfessed sin. And we've got to realize, I've got to confess sin to get right with God so my prayers will be heard. And that's what God tells us, gives us information about. 1 John 1 and verse 9. Verse 8 said, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So we know we do sin, but we don't have to live a life of sin. In that context, if we confess our sins, means I'm speaking with you. Confess. Speaking con. With who? God has hit my heart with the word of God. Maybe this morning, I'm not treating my wife right. I'm going to change that. Did you know you can be heard now? You could be forgiven? If we confess our sins, he's faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Every one of them. Even whatever abuse, whatever's been done. But if I'm not going to confess it, blame everybody else for my sins except my own. That I am the one that has sinned. Took a while for David to get that. You're the one, David. And he kept changing, trying to avoid it. Finally had to admit it. There comes a time, and David was a man after God's own heart, and it comes a time when he did admit that. And we begin to realize that that's what separates us. That's why he doesn't hear. But here's the beautiful thing about it. Well, God, I'm going to talk to you today. I've sinned. He's all ears. Here's what I've done. Forgive me. And we may need to make amends to a wife or someone else that we've sinned against. But that's the way we can handle that. But if we're going to keep worshiping and just praying and not changing our lives, your prayers will not talk about answered. He said, I don't hear them. I turn my ear away from that. God makes that pretty plain. And sometimes we can offer it with an unforgiven spirit. Our prayers won't be heard. In Matthew, the 6th chapter, and verse 12, in speaking about teaching the brethren, disciples, how to pray. This is not the Lord's prayer. This is the disciples' prayer. This is what they were supposed to be praying. And verse 12 says, and forgive us our debts as we also forgive others, as we have forgiven our debtors, those who've done us wrong. So forgive us as we have also forgiven our debtors. And in verse 15, but if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Luke 17 says, if our brother sins, we need to rebuke them. Only if they repent do you forgive. We've got to have a heart that says, I want to forgive you. But if you never confess, God doesn't forgive it. Why do you? The Bible never says that. We're not to let bitterness get into our heart. We're to be able to put that away, knowing that, God, I want to forgive, but I'm going to forgive like you forgive. And he doesn't forgive until you repent, until you change. That's consistent through Old Testament, New Testament. When the Lord said, forgive them, Father, they know not what they do, that's his petition, because that's his desire for them to be forgiven. But it don't automatically forgive them. Among the number of 3,000 on the day of Pentecost, they repented and were baptized. Their sins were forgiven. But there's this, he wants to forgive. He desires to forgive. But God doesn't demand you to forgive somebody when they don't repent. And that's, the religious world doesn't understand that either. But the Bible teaches that. But if I'm not going to forgive when others have said, I'm sorry, and we still don't forgive, that's the point of the parables that Jesus set forth. Now here I forgave you, and then you go out and they wanted forgiveness and you don't give it. You want flesh, you want money, you won't make them pay. That's a bad attitude. But if we have an unforgiving spirit, that even when someone says, I'm sorry, and they say, well, I don't really believe it. Some do that. You got a spirit that needs to change because your prayers aren't going to be heard. And the Bible helps us understand that. And then sometimes we offer our prayers with doubt, lacking the confidence that God can really do anything about it. That's what we see in our reading this morning in James, the first chapter, where James is teaching us that we've got to go through difficult times and we're to let that strengthen us, and we can rejoice because it's a strengthening process. But here's one that's lacking wisdom. God, I got plenty of knowledge. I need to kind of work this thing out. How can I wisely apply that? You can ask God, who giveth to all liberally and upbraideth not, doesn't make fun of us, doesn't upbraid us, look down upon us because we're asking for wisdom. You ought to already have it. How old are you? You're 75 years old. How come you don't have any? He doesn't do that. He's willing to give and give liberally, but we got to be asking. But let him ask in faith, nothing doubting. There's where you draw in the faith. Trusting in what? I trust in God that he can deliver. He can give me wisdom. He can give you wisdom. And you're asking for it. But if you go to him in prayer, ask that, and you have doubts that it would ever be answered, you're just kind of going through the motions, maybe because you're discouraged. What you are, you're like the surge of the sea, driven by the wind. How do you get all those big waves so you can go out and put that little surfboard up there and go over these mountains of waves? How's that? Wind? Unless you're in a tsunami. But the wind, it takes it wherever it wants to go. And here comes the waves and you ride them. But you're like that when you're just going driven every way. You're not going to be stable at all. You're like the surge that's driven by the wind, the sea and toss. But let not a man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. And he's wondering why God doesn't make him wiser, why God doesn't improve his life, why God doesn't answer his prayers. He's praying for family to get better. He's praying for people to be saved. How come God doesn't answer my prayer? because you don't think anything good will happen from it. And you wonder why you start feeling they don't get higher than the ceiling, higher than my bedroom, higher than the hospital room. We can't let the devil shed doubt. You mean that person, if I left the Lord 10 years ago, and you think God do anything about it now? And we stop praying for them? No. Because God can change hearts. He can use means, not doing a miracle. He can do means, help them understand that. It's a reality. But would you be willing to die if it meant that your children would be coming back to the Lord because they attend your funeral and they want to change their lives? When you pray, God, by any means, turn them toward it. Well, maybe it means your death. Would you die for that? To save their soul? I think you would. If that would be the thing that takes them, so you don't have any barriers on Jesus, upon God, whatever it takes, God, turn them back. Whatever it means. It means that they may have a disease that makes them wake up to the fact of that. Yes. I don't know. I don't think anything can be done about it. And we don't pray. And we don't get our prayers answered. It's a part of our faith. That has to be united in our understanding. God, you're able to do this. Because we're going to pray according to his will. Want it to be his will. What if it means going to be a deaf somebody. Going to be sickness. Wake them up this way. They're going to lose their job. We don't want anything like that. So we don't pray. God, whatever means it is to save them, please do so. Maybe we think that would be too much of a pay. Well, that's a bad attitude. But let God's will do his will, and we're happy with that because we want them to be saved. Hebrews, the 4th chapter, how do you go to the throne of grace to receive mercy in time of need? Let us therefore draw near with boldness, confidence, under the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and may find grace to help us in time of need. God can't really do anything about this. It's too far gone. And you go to with boldness that he can? You've got to. Come with boldness to the throne of grace. God is able to do that. And that becomes very important in our relationship with God to find mercy that we need. He doesn't hear our prayers when we don't come with a full confidence. God, I know you can deliver. I'm asking you to deliver. Somebody get over a disease. Somebody come from being lost to be saved. Open doors so we can teach other people the gospel. Oh, I didn't do anything about it. Can God do that? Things about it? Yes. And we've got to have that full confidence that he can, because all that's according to his will. We're praying that. He can help people get better. He can take people's lives. And he can open doors. And we can go back and give thanks always, because that's one of the things we say, thank you for opening doors, that we've been able to spread the gospel here or there. And we've seen results from that. That's encouraging when those things happen in our lives. But look at Mark, the 11th chapter, as we combine these two things together of our faith and confidence in God and the right type of spirit that we ought to have before God. Therefore, I say unto you, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe that ye shall receive them, and ye shall have them. That's the positive side of this. And whensoever you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against anyone, that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. Because, well, I'm asking for mine. But maybe someone's asked for your forgiveness. And you pray to forgive them. But notice the confidence, verse 24. Notice the attitude, verse 25. Those things have to be solid. And we have to be united that God can accomplish these things. That's why we're coming to a God. And really, is he a higher power when we start doubting that? I don't think so. But he's not just a higher power. He is God. And he wants to answer your prayers. He wants to help us in all that we can. But sometimes religious people are not having their prayers answered because of unconfessed sins, relationships in the family's not right, and we start doubting, for whatever reason, the power of God to deliver. Those are reasons why he doesn't hear our prayers in order to answer them. We move on now and realize that here's the part about sometimes our prayers are not answered yet. You know, some have said, well, you get a yes, and you give a no, and you get, well, later. So things are later. They're not answered yet. They're heard, but they're not answered yet. We have that category, and the great example of this is, I want you to read David. He and Bathsheba had a baby together. And we open our Bibles to 2 Samuel, the 12th chapter, verses 15 through 18. The Lord did something. Because what Bathsheba and David did, having a child, was sinful before God. David was engaged in murder, her husband. But their relationship in that regard was sinful. And the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife, Bathsheba, bore to David. And it became ill. It became ill. Who's the cause of that? Sin is the cause of that. But this is God. We need to pray, if God will, I'll live to do this or that. He has the power to do that. So he strikes the child ill. What does David do? David therefore pleaded with God. Sounds like a prayer. And he pleaded with God for the child. I'm praying on behalf of the child. There's your prayer. And what did David do? He fasted. He went in and lay all night on the ground, and apparently he doesn't get up for 7 days. The elders, they rise to go to him and rise him up from the ground. From their perspective, you know, your child's still living. Just come on and see him. But he would not. He didn't eat food with them. Then on the seventh day, it came to pass the child died. You ever been there? Praying for someone to make it? Prayer's not answered yet. And then we find out the child has died. And so here he is lying there on the ground, fasting, prayed on behalf of the child. But on the seventh day it comes to pass that the child has died. And the servants of David, he didn't come to us when the child was alive. They were afraid to tell David that the child is dead. I can understand that, can't you? If he does, what is he going to be like now? We find that he has died. Well, we pick up verse 20. When David rose from the ground, he gets up. He washed himself. He anointed himself. He changed his clothes and he went to worship. Your child just died. Tells he's a man. Yeah, he's a sinner. He sinned. He had to admit that. And here was something that hit him and Sheba very hard. But when he knew he was died, he gets up, washes, and he anoints himself. As if, why should I be sad any longer? He changed his clothes. And he goes to worship the Lord. That's what he does. He worships God. Then he goes to his house. And requests the food be set before him. Now, that's 7 days. I tell you what, I'll get ready here, but let's go eat first before we go to worship. Would you do that after 7 days? You might. But he's been in a relationship with God, lying on the ground, beseeching God to save the boy's life or save the child's life. But when that happened, he's changed. And his servants are saying unto him, what's going to happen? And he said, well, here's the way. While the child was alive, I fasted and I wept. And we know that was a 7-day process. He's praying, but he hasn't got an answer yet. God's hearing him. But in this context, he hasn't received an answer. I fasted and wept, for I said, who can tell whether the Lord will be gracious to me that the child may live? Who knows? Well, David, you didn't get that because you doubted God. He didn't doubt God. I don't know if the prayers will be answered, but sometimes they're not answered on the first day, the second day, the third day, the fourth day, the fifth day, the sixth day. But they've been kind of answered now. But he said, now he's dead. Why should I fast? It's what we do for sadness. Can I bring him back again? He said, I shall go to him. I'm going to die and be with the realm of the dead. But he shall not return to me. I'm worshiping God now, and I realize that he got his answer. It was a no. It was a no. Now he and Bathsheba, the Bible takes us that he took his wife, Bathsheba. Sin's been committed. I killed her husband. Had him killed. But here's the forgiveness, and they start, and you know, their baby was Solomon. Their baby was Solomon. But the answer came, and sometimes it's not yet. It's not yet. It's not yet. It's heard, but it's not answered yet. And we need to remember that in these very stressful times when we be praying to God for behalf of others. We need to realize that indeed sometimes it hasn't come yet, so we need to keep on praying. So I want to deal with James here. And James, we might have an improper motive. That's why prayers not be answered, because our motives are indeed wrong. We want to spend it in our pleasures. David doesn't seem to be having that kind of motive. I just want the child to live. It's not a selfish motive. He's not praying on behalf of the child, not on behalf of me, but on behalf of the child he's praying. I think his motives were good. But is it according to God's will, that child, he'd already told him the child's going to die. But he said, God could change this. And that's a point, too, that you know, Nathan said the child's going to die because what you've done, David, you have caused the enemy of Jehovah to blaspheme against him. The child will die. Well, that's what you say, but can God change his mind, coming to the throne of grace with mercy, with confidence that he could do that? He waited for an answer. He got it. And he didn't lay out for a few months without worshiping God. Blame it on God. He went first to worship God before he filled his belly after 7 days of fasting. And we have, and he's moving on. He'll have Solomon. But our motive can be that we can spend it, what we get, in our pleasures. Selfish motives are causing that. In verse 2, we do not ask. I saved that for the last. But that's an obvious one, isn't it? Why does God not answer my prayer? Because I'm not praying. I haven't asked. And that's obvious. That should be first, but I put it last. Because why would you ever get to that point as people of God? You're not asking. Well, God has told us we never should be there. I can see I'm not praying anymore because I'm not getting an answer that I need, and I'm beginning the doubt to creep in. I'm beginning to think, why pray? And that could be a reason why you quit praying. Understand that. But what we need to understand is that when we do that, we cannot give up asking. And if we do, we'll be losing our faith. Now you say, well, that's an extreme. Yeah, I'm talking about the extreme. You can get to the point where you completely lose your faith because you quit praying. Doubt has crept in. And now I'm doubting, can God do anything? Will he do anything? He says, no, it's not the end of, remember, our child's not dead yet, that we want to come back to the Lord, our children, or a friend. But Jesus told us that we should keep on praying. He gave a wonderful story in Luke, the 18th chapter, verses 1 through 8, of an unrighteous judge, and God's not unrighteous, who really doesn't care about men. God does. And here's a widow, especially a widow. She's wanting justice to be done. And we find that the unrighteous judge, when she comes after him to avenge her adversary, verse 4 says he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her. I don't fear God. I don't regard man. If he was a politician, he wouldn't be saying that. That's the reality. He doesn't care that much about her, man, doesn't fear, reverence God. But because of her wearing me out with her continual coming. That's how he looked at it. He's going to show you God doesn't look at it that way. You don't wear him out. You trouble him, and it's too much to bear when you pray to him and your sins are in your life and you don't deal with them. That's when he gets troubled and weary. But not when you need help. The Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge saith. Shall not God avenge his elect that cry to him day and night? And yet he is long suffering over them because of his will. He's going to let it continue. David, 7 more days, we'll find out. Maybe longer than that for our prayers to be answered. I say unto you that he will avenge them speedily when he comes and deals with it. It'll be speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? That's an interesting statement. I thought, will he find prayer on the earth? Well, this is a story about prayer. What was the purpose of this? Verse 1 of chapter 18, he spake a parable of them to the end that they ought always to pray and not to faint. And he ties in faith at the end of it. Because confidence in God, trusting in God, that's why we're going to keep praying. We'll find in Matthew the 7th chapter, verses 7 through 11, that we, and pray, God knows what we have need of. But he tells us to keep asking. Ask and ye shall be given you. That word's present tense means keep on asking. Don't give up. Do not quit. Pray without ceasing. All these things, you should never give up. Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. Everyone that asketh receiveth. James says you didn't receive because you didn't ask. You asked for the wrong motives. With the wrong motives, those are all important. Or what man is there, you, if he has a son, shall ask him for a loaf, shall give him a stone? Or shall I ask for a fish and give him a serpent? If then ye being evil know how to give good gifts, you treat your kids in a right way. You being evil as mankind can be. How much more shall your Father who is in heaven give good things to ask him? All things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do so unto them, for this is the law of the prophets. Please talk about continuing to ask. In Matthew 6, 31 through 33, we find that God already knows what you need. So what do? You seek his kingdom. I got something else to do that be right with God. I'm going to seek his rule, seek his will, get the sin out of my life, treat my wife right, have the right motives, and I'll go to God in prayer. And I will never give up, because he will give these things that you need, that you're asking for. He knows you have need of them. He will give those to you. But you put his will, his kingdom first. And the moment we start not asking because we're discouraged, because we didn't get our answer quick enough for us, we'll begin to chip away our faith to the point we will quit asking. And what does God say? Don't ever quit asking. It's in his time. Wait on the Lord. And that's the prayers. You say, well, we could be talking about your prayers not going to be answered because you're a worldly person and you're sin. That's true. But notice we've been directed this morning to you and me as people who worship God, who care about God. But we know we're not perfect, and this needs to be a list that we come back to. Why are my prayers not being answered? Friend, they're not even being heard by God, who's holy. Get your motives right. Get your relationships right. Confess your sins. Don't hide them. And when we do that, we'll become people that can come to God, not with unconfessed sins, but with a broken heart. Forgive me. Are you willing to forgive others? Yes. And all those things will be there. We'll find that God will hear. And when he hears according to his will, he will answer accordingly. And maybe that'll be a better life that we're living, being that way. And I hope that we will do that. This morning, if you're outside of Christ, it'd be kind of easy to stand up here and say, you need to give your life to Christ this morning, and you do. All you need to do is just say the sinner's prayer, and you stay right where you are. And you can repeat a prayer, and they call it the sinner's prayer. But that's not what the New Testament says us to do. That when we're outside of Christ, we need to come to Christ for forgiveness of our sins. And when Peter preached in Acts the second chapter, he told them they had crucified Jesus. They had sinned in the point of putting him to death, a righteous man. And he told them, repent. That means I'm confessing my sins, I'm turning from them, and be baptized for the remission of my sins. That's how you start your life in relationship with God. If you haven't been baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins, we have everything ready. It's just your heart. Do you want to come to Christ for forgiveness? Because he's the only way that we can ever have it. And I would encourage you to do so. And then start living like we have and be earnest in prayer to help you grow spiritually. That's how we start. But unforgiven sin is a problem. And we can take that out of the way anytime we start turning ourselves to God and asking and confessing our sins. He's ready to forgive us. Come to the Lord. Be saved as we stand and as we sing.